fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue the discussion we're having on St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Ended yesterday's program with that powerful set of verses in chapter 2, where St. Paul describes himself this way. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a beautiful description of the Christian life, of what it means to be a disciple, of once you say yes to Jesus and receive the gift of new life and you enter his community, the church of followers, imperfect people, but all followers of Christ, we've now taken our eyes off ourselves and our eyes off the world. And we set our hearts and our minds on the person of Jesus Christ. We're following him. Our life is now defined by him. We understand that we belong to him, that he's purchased us at the great price of his precious blood. He bought us back. He bought us back from this condition that St. Paul describes earlier of living under the domination of this present evil age. And he's putting our willfulness to death. He's putting to death the ego, the self-centeredness that's there, the passion we have for power, honor, pleasure, these things that drive us at such a level and cause us to compromise our life dignity in so many ways. It's kind of enslavement. And it's so crucial for us, friends, to see that. You know, one of the ways I see it on occasion is when I travel. For example, just last month, I was in Tanzania in a place called Dodoma and Dar es Salaam for a large Catholic celebration, 35th anniversary jubilee for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And they asked me to come and to speak at this large conference, and along with Cardinal Peter Turkson from Rome and Michelle Moran from England. Beautiful 4 or 5 days of real celebration of a life of disciples. I have to tell you, friends, the church in Africa in many, many places is so inspiring. It's like a young lover. It's so alive in Christ. It's so clear that God is their portion, and they love the Lord. It's such a beautiful thing to see. But also being there and spending time there in different villages and seeing so many of these men and women, and many like them, live one day to the next, kind of subsistence living. And, you know, people live on, I was reading a statistic the other day that in one study that a quarter of the world lives on a dollar a day. Nearly half the world lives on $2 or less a day. And they're fighting every day. They're fighting against sickness and disease and poverty. Very difficult lives. I see a lot of joy in them. I see a lot of community. I see a lot of family, but still fighting at a very fundamental level against great odds. And I'm often struck, and as I get to know some of these people, of the depth of their genuine joy, their genuine gratitude to God, the living relationship that so many of them have with God that's so precious and is without question, the source fundamentally of joy that they experience in their lives. And it's so real. Their lives animated. It's a beautiful thing to see. And they have almost nothing in their life that we would want or desire besides that. You know, it's so common, for example, just something as simple as running water or a bathroom. Most people don't have bathrooms in their homes. Most people don't have running water in their homes. They've got to schlep over to a well that, you know, sometimes there's hundreds and hundreds of people share and carrying every day buckets back and forth of water to be able to use during their day. Like I say, fighting so many other challenges in the midst of it. But they know they belong to God. And the words of Jesus, where Jesus said, you know, the last will be first, the first will be last. Jesus, scripture says, comes alongside the poor. He loves the poor. He lifts up the lowly and the broken. And he turns his heart and mind to him. And you could just see why the Lord would turn his heart toward them at such a deep level. And sometimes I feel like I just see the crown of glory that's going to be set on so many of their heads because they walk with such humility and faithfulness to God. It's such a beautiful thing. And then I come home to the United States of America, which is the wealthiest country in the history of the world, has done many good things, but also right now is just trapped in its own wisdom. We're going to make the world, the country, more and more secular all the time so we can all get along better, right? But everybody knows and can feel that things are unraveling. We are not in a stable place. And people are kind of panicking. And you see how off the wall human beings can become when they decide to live a life apart from God. We lose our peace. We lose our sanity. We lose our common sense. We just become slaves to our own pleasure, to our own comfort, to our own distraction. And we're committed with all our time and our money and our resources to trying to deal with the unsettledness inside ourselves, the lack of peace. Sometimes something as dramatic as kind of a dominating self-loathing that goes on inside the human heart. That is the essential result of living apart from Christ and living in a darkened world. A world, friends, without the light of Christ is a world that's enslaved. And it's enslaved to the prince of this world. Scripture is very clear, and so is the teaching of the church. And that gets expressed in a world that lives in a constant battle against death, afraid of aging, afraid of being sick, afraid of getting old, afraid we're going to miss out on every experience, so we have to multiply every experience we can possibly have for ourselves. We're in kind of a perpetual race and chase to run away from the ultimate realities of limitation in this world and to will a world without boundaries, to obliterate all boundaries. And so that's going to be our way forward. That's what's going to make us free and happy. I mean, that's the lie that we end up believing. And where it leads to, it really leads to, you know, the enemy's plan for our lives and not God's plan. God said, if you decide to throw off my purpose and plan for you and not to acknowledge me, you certainly have the power to do that. But there's going to be consequences to it. And the consequences that we see are living apart from him and then ultimately creating something other than what we're made to create. That is a way of life. Instead of a culture of life, we create a culture of death. And you see that through continued insistence on things like abortion, now the rise of euthanasia. And now people are fighting like crazy to say, this is the way to mercy. Nobody has any right to say no to this. Doctors need to now step up and be real conduits of mercy to kill people. You know all that's out there. This is all an expression of a fallen, darkened mind and will, existence on our own resources, insisting on our own way, ending up in futility and foolishness. And friends, the human mind can become so darkened, we can keep going this direction, and it can get super ugly, really bad. Think how far Satan fell. I mean, the light bearer. The higher you are on God's creative chain of beings, the farther you can fall. And we can fall a long way. And people, I mean, just right-minded, common sense people are looking around and saying, what is happening to the culture that we once had? What's happening in the unraveling, the drums of war beating again everywhere? So that's the consequence of coming out from under God's purpose and will. And Paul in Galatians is so clear. It begins with knowing who we are. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul's saying, I used to be the master of my own destiny. And by God's grace, the Lord reveals to me where that leads me. Ultimately, to become God's enemy. I mean, Jesus said, you know, if you love this world, love for the world is enmity with God. He doesn't mean love the earth that God created, love your neighbor. He doesn't mean that. He means the stuff that the world keeps putting up that we're supposed to honor, which people do it all the time. The fallen dimension of this world that people are constantly fighting for, the right to the things I just said. Plus, we have a right to any kind of perversion we desire to have because we're free and we have a right to do this and the government ought to give us permission to do, you know, not, we don't have to look to the government for permission. It can't get in the way of the life we want to have. So the fallen dimension of this world is what a lot of people are conformed to. And Paul said, you know what? That's how my ego used to be driven that way, to powers in this world. And by God's mercy, he put it to death. And now there's a new life in me. There's the heart of Jesus Christ that's coming alive in me. That's what now drives me. That's the definition of my life. He's living in me. And he said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Friends, this is the only road to human freedom and human happiness, is faith. It's radical abandonment of our lives in trust to God who made us. We belong to him. When we decide in our freedom that we're going to create a world with very little or no reference to him, we're going to insist on our own radical autonomy. We certainly have the power to do that. But friends, that doesn't come without big, big consequences. You can't cut God out of your life and expect yourself to prosper. Friend, you were made for him. You were made by him. He knows exactly who you are and your destiny and your purpose and how you can find human fulfillment. Only the path that he's made for you, really living in accord with the very person you were made to be, that's the only way you can be happy. But today we're saying, forget it. I'm going to discover for myself my own pathway, my own definitions of what's good, my own definition of how I'm supposed to live. As nice as that sounds, St. Francis would describe it as putting yourself under a curse, and so does St. Paul. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I trust him. I love him. I abandon myself to him, and I obey him. That's where the rubber hits the road. I mean, this thing of so many Catholics in the culture these days that, you know, they call themselves Catholic, but literally live radically differently and are very confident how they're living apart from the teaching of the church. You know, think, for example, of the big things that we constantly see on the news and hear about all the time. All the gender stuff, the LGBT stuff, the homosexual marriage stuff, the euthanasia stuff, the pornography stuff, all the things that are out there that people actually say they have a right to do and have kind of has a right to do as Christian. It couldn't be further from the truth. Good thing to ask yourself is, have you ever heard John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Francis, Mother Teresa? You hear the saints talk that way? In fact, they speak radically against it. But there's all kinds of Catholics who seem very confident to take a radically opposite position because it's, quote unquote, their right. And that somehow everybody has to accept that, including the church, the leaders of the church, and ultimately God. Because you have a right to be whoever you want to be. That's not Christianity. That's not even close to Christianity. You're not even Christian if that's the way you're living, right? If I make those choices and that's the stake I put in the ground, I've abandoned my life as a disciple. That's what Paul's trying to tell us here. I live by faith in the Son of God because he loved me and he gave himself for me. And I needed to be saved. And I needed to be delivered from this present evil age. And if I don't see that, my mind's in darkness. That's a fact. Hear the words of Jesus, friend, and say yes to him and walk in faith to receive everything that he's given for you. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.